Open your Bibles, please, this morning to the book of Isaiah. And thank the Lord for all the announcements in the bulletin. Miss Trudy put our theme in there. If you looked at it there at the bottom of your bulletin, our theme this year is closer to Him, more like Him. I want to be closer to Him and more like Him. They said of the early disciples that when they perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, when it said that they marveled that they were ignorant and unlearned, it doesn't mean that they didn't have all their mental faculties. It means they'd never been trained. They didn't go through the rabbinical school. These guys were tax collectors and fishermen and everything else, but they had the touch of God on them, the anointing of God on them. And the Bible said they marveled and took knowledge of them that they'd been with Jesus. You remember the story in the Bible about Moses when he went up on the mount and received the Ten Commandments? The Bible said when he came down, his face was glowing. Why was that? Because he'd been in the very presence of God. And when you get into the presence of God, it makes a difference in your life. And we pray all the time, and I do, for God to give me that anointing that'll make the difference. There's no good thing in any of us. Paul said, wrote 13 books of this Bible, he said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. But he also said, I know this, I am what I am by the grace of God. And so God's grace upon us and His power upon us makes the difference. Now, the problem is that we're not close to Him as we ought to be. And, you know, we think about Christians walking with God, being saved. I illustrate it sometime with the sun and the moon. When you see that beautiful full moon, that means there's nothing between the sun and the moon. And then when the world begins to come between it, you have a waning moon or a waxing moon, have us working. And when you don't see the moon on that phase of the moon, it's simply because the earth is between there and we don't see it like we ought to. But at any rate, what I want to say to you is this: you and I can reflect His glory only if we stay close to Him, closer to Him and more like Him. If we get close to Him, if you're saved, the Bible says the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. But that doesn't mean we're close to Him. David said, he makes me to lie down in green pastures, lead me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Sometimes our soul needs restoring. Sometimes we get out of fellowship with Him. Sometimes we get away from Him. Listen, in the book of Isaiah, I don't know if I even gave you the text yet, but in the book of Isaiah, I want us to look at this one passage of Scripture, and then I'm going to read one verse that's in our bulletin in the book of James. Notice in Isaiah 59, and I'll share this with you just as quick as I can and not try to keep you long, but it's warm in here. Say amen for warmth, amen. Our good friends from down they said a while ago that they'd come to visit us, they didn't have any heat. And I said, well, praise the Lord. I didn't mean praise the Lord, they didn't have any heat. I praise the Lord they came and visit with us. I'm sorry they didn't have heat today, but I'm glad that they're able to be with us. But thank God we're in a warm place today. And Isaiah chapter 59, look at verse 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that He cannot save, neither His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. What an awful place to be in as a child of God, to get out of fellowship with Him. It's not that He doesn't want to be in fellowship with us. The Bible said, thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, God with us. He came to be with us. He laid aside all the glories of heaven, took on Him a body of flesh, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross, so He could be with us forever and forever. He wanted us to walk with Him, fellowship with Him, talk with Him. That's what His desire was and is for us. My dear friend, listen, there's only one thing that can sever that so far as our fellowship with Him, and that is our sin. It's not Him, it's us. He didn't move, we did. My dear friend, He said in this passage of Scripture that our iniquities has separated between us and our God, and it has hid His face from you, and he will not hear. Now go over to the book of James, if you will, please. And I want to read in James chapter number 4 and verse number 8. Or if you just want to write it down, James is right there near the end. By the way, thank you for all those who were here last Sunday night as we read the book of Revelation. And then for all of you who have been writing down the book of Revelation, I've challenged you to go through this year, take opportunity to write, copy every word out of the book of Revelation, get your notebook and go through and copy every word. And some have already completed that. And I encourage you to read some of Revelation every day this year and to follow with us. Notice in chapter 4 of the book of James, and I want to read just the one verse here and then I'm going to pray. Notice what it said, "Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now the Holy Spirit of God, Lord, would help me in these brief moments. God, I've been blessed this morning by the congregational singing. Lord, thank you for the wonderful singing, our Father of the specials already. And God, I thank you for the choir this morning and the great truth that they sang. Thank you for Brother Brad. God, I want to thank you, Brother Ricky and his precious wife being here, for the touch of God that's on this good, humble man. And God, your blessing on him, how you've used him to touch so many lives and win so many souls for Christ. And God, I pray that, Lord, you continue to bless his life. Lord, bless his ministry. And I pray, God, that you'd help me this morning. God, I confess before you there's no good thing in me. God, I'm as the Word of God says, an unprofitable servant often. But God, I pray, God, for the anointing of power of God on me this morning. God, give me that touch that'll make the difference. I pray, God, you'd speak through me. God, you called me to preach, and the gift and calling of God's without repentance. And I pray, God, you'd fill me now with the Holy Ghost in these few moments to say to your people what you want to say to them. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank God for you being here. Thank God for all our friends in the internet audience who are watching us now. Last Sunday, we had 45 who watched the whole service all the way through. And I'm glad that you're part of the services. In this passage of Scripture I've just read to you, the Bible warns us of a condition that I certainly don't want to be in. You can take about anything I've got. You can have anything I've got except for my wife and children. But the one thing I treasure more than anything else is a closeness to God, to know I'm close to Him, walking with Him, fellowshipping with Him, to know that the smile of His approval is on my life, to know that I'm sensitive to His touch and I can hear His voice. I want that, need that more than anything in this world. If you're going to live a life of any kind of joy in this world, you better know Him. If you're going to have any kind of peace in this world, you'd better know Him, and you need to be close to Him. And this passage of Scripture says to us just exactly what I've said, that and what the Word of God said. What is it that keeps us from having the closeness to Him that we ought to have? It's sin. You got to deal with it. And you got to understand sin's a reality. There is such a thing. You say, Brother Billy, what is sin? What does it mean? I suggest this to you. This anything contrary to His Word or His will, that's sin. Anything contrary to His Word or His will is sin. Anything I do that this Bible says ought not to do, that's sin. And if I disobey the Word of God, if the Holy Ghost of God is dealing with me about something and I disobey Him, that's sin. The Bible said to him that knoweth to do good, to do it that not, to him it's sin. If you know it's good to read the Bible and you don't read the Bible, that's a sin. If you know it's good to be faithful to the house of God and you don't do it, that's sin. Whatever the Bible said, that thing in your heart and life that God the Holy Ghost has dealt with you about, if you disobey Him, that's sin. And it does not cause us to be lost. We're saved, I believe, for all eternity. It gives unto us everlasting life. You have children, and not one of you in here have a child who at some point in time has not disobeyed you. It may have been some small thing, but it was disobedience. But they were still your child. And when you get saved by the grace of God, you're His child. You may disobey Him. But my dear friend, what happens when you sin is it breaks fellowship. I'll deal with that more in a minute. But what about this element of sin? Anything that's contrary to His Word or to His will is sin. Susanna Wesley was the mother of John Charles Wesley, great founders of the Methodist Church, a great man of God in days gone by, wrote many, many hymns that we sing in our songbooks. And she had 19 children. Praise God for that, amen. She had 19 children. But you know what? She said this, what sin is? is anything that comes between me and my Savior. Anything that comes between me and my Savior is sin. It might be something, you know, Bible talks about lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. Some things are sin. They're spelled out in this Bible. But there are some things that would be considered weights. Some things that would just hinder us from having a right relationship with Him, a right fellowship with Him. There are sins that I would go through. I'm not going to deal with them all over this next year. I'll deal with a lot of different things as we talk about the theme, closer to Him, more like Him. But they're what I would call fleshly sins. That is, sins that are listed in the Word of God, considered the deeds of the flesh, the works of the flesh, stealing, adultery, sexual sins outside of marriage, homosexuality, all types of sin of that nature, fleshly sins that involve the body, and God has guidelines for all of that. And you break those guidelines, you break fellowship with Him, and you disobey Him, and you don't have His touch on you. You don't have the power of God on you. You don't have the blessing of God on you. And then they're what I would call the sins of the heart and mind. Jesus talked about it. He talked about lust, jealousy, greed, pride, hatred, all those things. They're in you, and they're in your heart and in your mind. Back over in the book of Psalm 66, I'll note this verse 18 for you. In Psalm 66 and verse number 18, I want to just read this one verse real quick. And he said this, if I regard iniquity in my heart, He will not hear me. That word regard means to treasure or to condone. If I have something in my heart that I treasure, that I hold on to, that I guard, people don't know I'm not saying it. They can't see it outwardly. But there's something in my heart that I have treasured or had regard to or have given some sort of credence to that nobody else knows about. It's a lustful thought. It's a some type of unforgiveness. It's bitterness in my heart. That's a sin. And because of that, I can't be perfectly close to Him like I want to be. I can't be like He wants me to be. I want to be clean. I don't want to have any sins of the flesh, any sins of the mind and heart. And then there are what, and they would be included in all these, but what I call verbal sins. The Bible goes through and enumerates some of those. It talks about vain words. It talks about foolish talking and what we would call profanity. It has to do with hurtful things that we say, unkind things. And the Bible said that the tongue is set on fire of hell. Things that people sin with their tongue. Things they say, hurting things, cutting things, unkind things, wicked things, all those things. And he said this about, he said, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. People, guys get around, they tell dirty jokes to one another. Don't think there's any problem with that. But Paul said it will increase to more ungodliness. And it's those sins of that. Then there are sins of disobedience. That means simply not doing what God tells you to do. And the Bible's full of those. I pick out just one this morning because we're all here this morning. Good crowd here this morning for the first Sunday of the new year. But in Hebrews chapter 10, it says this, forsake not the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I believe God has ordained the local church. He said this, God, Christ loved the church and had died for it. God has ordained we assemble together. And He said we ought to assemble together. The more we see the day approaching, that means the closer we get to return of the Lord, the more we'll be with God's people. And then He goes on in that passage that right now below that, and I'll deal with that in just a few minutes, but He said, if we sin willfully, and He's just got through saying that we ought to be faithful to the house of God, but if we sin willfully, that is that we know we ought to be faithful to the house of God, we know that we ought to be in the church where God's people assemble at, and we don't, He said, that's willful sin. Willful sin. Listen, He said in Psalms 100 verse 14, enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, serve the Lord with gladness. That's a wonderful psalm. We love to read that. And we read it over and over again. And it says, we ought to enter His gates with praise, thanksgiving. We ought to praise God. And we ought to praise Him. We ought to serve Him with gladness. But the first word is this, enter. Yeah. Enter. You can't worship with God's people if you're not here. You can't get blessed by the singing if you're not here. You can't be a part of the service or feel the Holy Ghost like Ricky said he felt a while ago if you're not here. God's going to do something. I don't want to be like Thomas. Thomas missed the arrival of the Lord after the resurrection. Praise God, if anything's going to happen right here, I sure like to be here. Amen. If God, the Holy Ghost, is going to move, God's going to do something. God's going to touch somebody. God's going to save somebody. I want to be in the house of God. God's got something for you. If God's ordained it, He's got something for you. There's a word. There's a song. And when I come to the house of God and you come to the house of God, it may not be what I say. It may be something Brad says. It may be something that somebody sings, a word, just a phrase and a song they get in your heart. Last Sunday, Regina sang that, "Great is thy faithfulness." All week long, I told her one time during the week, that's been in my mind all week long, "Great is thy faithfulness." God is very faithful to us. Boy, if you can just get one of those little truths in there. God didn't say you wouldn't ever go through the fire, but He did say, here's your promise, I'll be with you. Oh, listen, if you get that in your heart this morning, the song of the choir, those things, what a blessing it is. My dear friend, listen, sin, there's the sin of neglect. There's sin like that. All those type of things where we just fail God so many ways. I don't have time to go in all those, but I will before it's over this year. Because it's in my heart that we don't let anything. Oh, listen. This is not even in the message, just run through my mind just now. The cost of sin. I love to fish. I didn't do it. I went twice last year. I made a New Year's resolution. Before the New Year started, I'm going to go every Tuesday. I'm going to go fishing. Now, it was about 10 degrees, best I remember, early Tuesday morning. So I said, God, I ain't going to go today if it's all right with you. So I didn't go. I don't love it good as I thought I did. Look, my wife told me, she said, I know somebody used to go when they had to break the ice to fish. And I said, yeah, that was used to. I used to do that. But my brother and I were raised fishing all the time. I mean, we fished all the time. And man, we caught rockfish, stripers. They come up that Roanoke River. I was raised right there where they come in there. I mean, I've seen them in there. Literally, I've seen them where it just looked like, you know, shad. The river was just full of stripers like that. I can remember the days when we'd go down there. I've seen guys, and that's probably why they made the law, but I've seen guys with Studebaker pickup trucks fill the back of their truck, slam full, and ice it down. Our town was a cotton mill town, had 9 cotton mills. I worked my senior year in high school in the cotton mill. I worked second shift in the cotton mill. My mom worked 48 years in the cotton mill. Regina's mama worked in most all her life in the cotton mill. But during rockfish season, they never had to shut the mill down because all them guys would take off and go rock fishing. And you could go right to that well and you catch them big old rows. I mean, and you could go sell them to the wildlife department. They didn't care how many you got. You sold them. They'd take the eggs and they'd hatch the egg and put them back in. And so we'd go catch them. And what happened, guys who caught rockfish, they'd go through town and sell them. They'd make more money in 1 week rockfishing than they could work in a month in a cotton mill. That's what we done. And it was no problem. Then they got to making laws. You couldn't keep 24, then you couldn't catch it below the Scotland Neck Bridge and so on. Everything after a while, it got to where you can't keep a one. That's on Thursday in the middle of January sometime. And, you know, so many laws, you can't get to do anything. But we just always done it. And so my brother, Howard, who's 9 years older than I am, we would do it, but every fish he ever caught was legal. But he'd sell them. And then he got to buying them from other guys and resell them. And then, you know, about several years ago now, they got really, really strict on that business. I mean, they got serious about it. And they had a big run through Roanoke Rapids, and they arrested about 20-something guys for selling rockfish. I mean, like my brother said, he talked to a game one. He said, you mean I can throw them out on this dock, let them rot, and there's nothing wrong with that? He said, that's right. He said, but if I take it and I sell it to somebody for $1.50 and they can feed their family for $1.50, that's wrong. He said, that's what the law says. But anyhow, you know, we raised in that. We didn't say all the laws like that. But anyhow, they made a believer out of us. They arrested about 28 guys, give them all kind of fine. My brother had quit just a few months before fooling with it. And he thought everything was fine. He worked with a mobile home dealership there in Roanoke Rapids, and he always went by the grocery store and go in there and they had a little thing in there where you get your coffee and all that, you know, had a little snack bar. And he went out, walked up there, and 2 guys walked up to him in suits. Said, you Mr. Cashman? Said, yes, I am. They arrested him, took his truck. He ended up spending 6 months in prison. They gave him 5 years, but since 6 months in prison, lost his citizenship for 5 years, and was on parole for a long time, had to pay a big pile of money. When he went, what happened is when he went to Halifax for his sentencing, like the rest of them did, he had a lawyer, and the lawyer said, they're going to charge you $500. And you won't be able to fish for a year. But that ain't what happened. When they got up there and they got ready to sentence Howard, he said, they said, sentence is going to be next week in Charlotte. And his lawyer looked at it. He said, they've hung us. They went to Charlotte and they did exactly what I said. They gave him 5 years prison and several thousand dollars, took his truck, everything, lost his citizenship, 5 years and all those things, went through it. He volunteered to turn himself in, went to prison right down here in Rockingham, North Carolina. Went in there with him, took him down there. We walked in the door of that prison in there, and all the guards in there, and the people behind the desk and behind the glass in there. And he said, I'm Howard Cashman. They said, you're the fisherman. And they all laughed, and he laughed, and I laughed. And they said, bring your rods and come on in. And he went on in. Went behind the last one to close the door. He waved at me. He's kind of smiling, laughing. I couldn't go see him for 2 weeks. When I went to see him 2 weeks, he's sitting in a little cell with an orange suit on. Boy, you never seen anybody in such a shape. His countenance was down, sad. He sat there and shook his head. He said, if I knew it was going to cost this, I wouldn't have never done it. If I knew it was going to cost me this, I wouldn't have done it. Sin's a very costly thing. It costs you your fellowship with God. It costs you the peace of God, the joy of the Lord. It costs you your witness. It costs you your power. It brings the chastening of God in Hebrews chapter 12. And sometimes that can be very, very severe. I said about that Hebrews chapter 10, it said that when you sin willfully, he said there comes a fearful judgment on the children of God. Sin's a costly thing. You can't sin. You don't laugh your way out of sin. It costs you. But what it costs us more than anything else, he said, it has hid his face from you. Howard sitting in that jail cell couldn't see his wife, and he couldn't see his daughter, and he couldn't see his son, and he couldn't see his brother, and he couldn't see his mama. He was cut off. He lost his joy. Lost his freedom, lost so many things. Sin is a costly thing. But we don't have to stay that way. God gave his son for our sin. And he died that we might have everlasting life. And he died that we could stay in fellowship with him. He wants us to walk with him. And he said in 1 John, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, it means simply come before God and admit the fact that you're not as close to him as you ought to be. You got this in your life or that in your life. And then he said in the book of John and James, he said, draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. I wished I had some great big magnets. You know, we used to play with magnets when we were kids and in school, that was a big deal in school. They had magnets. Boy, they had big ones. I don't know where they found those big ones. But I remember they had some one time at school, and they were just about, not quite as big as a brick, but they were just about that big, kind of like an old whetstone, about that size, two of them. And I remember that teacher talking about the magnetic pull and the positive negative. He turned that thing around, and it had the negative in it, and he pushed, and on a slick table, he'd take, and he wouldn't even get close to that other brick, but it would begin to move it backwards. And then he said, watch this. And when he turned this one around and got just about that far from the other brick, pow, they come together just like that, made a racket. They hit so hard. Boy, it just fascinated a little old boy. I can remember it right now. The draw of that. Now, listen to what he said. He said, if you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. Those magnets that were sitting there was just one of them turned the wrong way. He ain't ever turned the wrong way. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to you. He's pulling at your heart right now. You've been saved, but you know you're not where you ought to be. He's pulling at you right now. He said, if you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. When you turn that magnet around, it just automatically, because he's already got the draw in him. Remember the story of the prodigal son? In the Bible, the story of the prodigal son, the boy went off, left his daddy, Daddy didn't go nowhere, he did. The boy left the father, wasted substance, righteous living. And he said, I'll rise and go back to my father. And I say to him, Father, I've sinned against thee and in heaven no more worthy to be called thy son. The Bible said that when he started on his way back, while he was a great way off, the father saw him and the father ran to him. You don't have to talk him into forgiving you. You don't have to talk him back into getting close fellowship with you. You just got to confess, get honest, turn around. Draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. He'll take away your sin. He'll wash you while you snow. He'll give you good fellowship back with him, and it'll be such a blessing. If you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. Let me show you something in the book of Psalms, chapter number 32. In chapter number 32 and verse 5. I want you to, if you write it down, you don't have to turn to it, but in Psalms 32, verse 5, listen to this, and I'm through. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. David said, I had it in my heart. I will acknowledge my sin. I'll confess my iniquities. And he said, you forgave. Thank God for that. That's the testimony of everybody who's ever been there. He was ready to forgive you, ready to restore you, ready to give you the touch. There's more to it than just getting right. But that's where you got to start at. I can talk to you about a lot of things. I will, for so will. But the key is right here. Our sin has separated between us and our God. He's hid his face from us, and he won't hear our prayers. We need to get right with him. Will you bow your heads in prayer with every head bowed, every eye closed this morning? Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here. And I pray God the Holy Ghost to speak to your heart right now. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you first of all for giving your Son that we might have everlasting life. And now, Father, in 2018, God, is my heart's desire to be closer to you and to be more like you. And Father, the only thing that keeps me from being closer to you is sin, various forms. And God, I pray there not be a thing between my soul and the Savior. God, I pray you'd purge my mind and my heart, my life. Help me, Lord God, I know my flesh. I know how weak I am. God, you'll have to help me. And God, I know that's true of every believer here. But our Father, we've got first deal with the fact that we have been disobedient. We have been neglectful. We've not done what we ought to have done. God, we've had wicked thoughts and we've done things and said things that we ought not to have done or said. And God, I pray the Holy Ghost of God, Lord, I know this is your ministry. You came to convict of the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. God, you don't quit just after we get saved. God, you keep right on dealing with us. And God, I know you're dealing with hearts. And I pray, God, folk get right with you. I pray, God, that they'll get right around this old altar or right where they are. God, not want to just be right. Don't help the Lord not be ashamed that they want to be close to you. And God, some of it is just our neglect. God, we've not been very faithful. Our faithlessness and God, not been faithful to you. And I pray, God, you'd forgive us for that. There's some folk, our Father, will be in the choir, and they've not been in the choir. God, I pray, God, that you just touch them, they get in the choir. Others in place of service and things, and God, other things that people have done, said. God, that's your business between you and them. But God, I pray you deal with me and deal with them. Lord, I want to be clean. You said, our Father, that, Lord, you'd wash us. David cried and said, oh, God, wash me thoroughly, and I shall be clean. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Then I'll teach transgressors thy ways. Oh God, I pray you'd get us closer to you that we could be more like you.